Good evening, everyone.
Whoops. Evening, everyone. I'm Melissa Eberling, co-host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, and founder of A Warrior Within Project. Today, we'll be speaking with Advocate Christine Villa and the family of a man being held the last year in Prince William County, Virginia, ADC. 11 months in solitary confinement. Mustafa Al-Azhari and his family have been going through so much over the last year, and Advocate Christine has been with them through many contacts, communications for help, and we're going to bring them on and hear a little bit about what brought us here today. We know there's a lot of injustice coast to coast, and we have it right outside of our nation's capital. Christine, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit about your involvement and what's been going on. I've only been in on this for about a week. We kind of switched things up and wanted to bring light to the urgent matter because it's a live situation, and it depicts a little bit about what's going on in our communities who are aware that we have violations of such of our human rights, and we're just being tried as communities and then inside, and it's just it needs more attention. Christine, tell us more about what you've been doing on this case specifically.
Well, first of all, I've been an advocate since 1991, and I found Mustafa Al-Jazari's case on TikTok, and I actually just watched a video that his brother had posted, and it was a video of his mother talking, and it really made me want to listen more to the case and see what it was all about. And once I started to get to know what was really going on, I knew that this was something I had to get involved in. So that's how I, you know, found the case.
Absolutely. And me just through a news article, and all I saw was that there was a man suffering in solitary confinement for 11 months. And I just want to bring note, let everybody know, Virginia just passed a solitary confinement regulation just last July. The governor signed his name and said that anybody held in solitary confinement should get 4 hours every day released from their confinement, and we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that. So there's a lot of topics to cover tonight, but please keep going. I just wanted to chime in and let everybody know what's going on legislation-wise.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, the family did reach out to the governor about this situation with their brother. They've been fighting for the last 11 months to get him seen medically in the jail, or from the jail, I'm sorry. And it's just been such a fight just to get him seen. Now, normally, when somebody's to be medically seen, from what his brother told me, that it's very simple. You can sign a paper and pay $25 and go to the hospital. But they have been fighting this since Mustafa's assault on May 24th, 2023. And I'm sure that if they did get him to the hospital, the injuries that he has sustained from the beating and from what happened to him on May 24th would definitely be different from the findings of his car accident on April 5th.
And that's, yeah, and you can fill in that timeline, too, if you want. And when you're comfortable, you know, let us hear from the family, too, about that immediate court stuff that you were going on, the medical situation. Tell us more about that.
I think that his brother, yeah, chime in on that.
Yeah, hi. My name is Mohammed. I'm Mustafa's older brother. So, you know, Mustafa was taken to the jail after being in a coma from a car crash. Based on false pretenses, the police officer falsified his police report and took him to jail. Now, we don't mind Mustafa going to court and proving his case. You know, that's something that the courts have to deal with. But in the meantime, while Mustafa was held at the jail in solitary confinement after being in a coma, he was never given medical treatment. And on top of that, on May 24th, he was brutally beaten by a group of correctional officers. They entered his cell, placed him in handcuffs, and they began punching him. They smashed his face into the concrete wall. and they picked him up and threw him on the ground multiple times, stomping over his head, stomping all over his arms, legs, his whole body, punching him while he's handcuffed. And in that process, Mustafa blacked out, and he was picked up by two officers and dragged to another cell where they continued beating him. And when he regained consciousness, he was completely naked, and he had blood all around him. And at that point, an officer, I believe it's Sergeant Daniels, who comes up to him, places his boots on top of Mustafa's head, and tells him, if you say one word, we're going to kill you. And the other officers are standing on top of Mustafa's head, making sexual jokes while Mustafa is completely naked. And then they take pictures of him while he's naked on their phones. Now, this is something that was witnessed by another inmate. That inmate came forward to us and gave us a recorded statement. And he said, at any point you guys need me, you have my name, my date of birth, my inmate ID. I'm going to be released in December. If you want me to say anything about what I saw, I'm more than happy to tell what I saw. Okay. Now, we haven't heard from this person, since we've been trying to locate him, but he gave a recorded statement. Now, I FOIA requested those videos from the jail. The law in Virginia gives the jail discretion whether to release or not to release surveillance footage from inside the jail. Now, I don't know why they're not releasing this. I mean, I think I know why they're not releasing the footage. But other people, other family members who have inmates at that same jail, have seen footage from the jail security cameras. So it's not fair to show one person something and then not show another family something else. So I filed for a petition for injunction or mandamus. That's what it's called when you're denied a FOIA. And on both occasions in the general district court and in the circuit court, the judge denied my request because the jail had discretion whether to release or not to release. So, but in that time frame, we've been asking the jail, letting the superintendent, Miletus, the two other officers that are below Miletus, Sergeant Major Herlock and Captain Powell, we've let them know. We've went into the jail personally. We've sent multiple emails, and they have not come to a resolution. We're simply asking for Mustafa to be treated outside of the jail. And as far as we know, it's a medical form that you fill out. It's a $25 checkoff, a checkbox that you check off, and you say you want to be transported through the jail. Now, I've spoken to other inmates that haven't previously been held at that jail, and they've stated that when they wanted medical attention at the hospital, they just filled out the form, and they gave it to the officer, and next you know, they're being transported to a hospital. So why is it so hard for Mustafa to be transported to a hospital where he's going to get a CT scan or an MRI that's going to show what happened to him on May 24th? Mustafa has been complaining of shortness of breath, loss of vision, numbness in his extremities, and bleeding from his rectum after the sexual assault. And the jail has not responded. They've been simply ignoring any email or any communication regarding Mustafa. I've emailed Amy Ashworth, who sits on the jail board, and she's the Commonwealth attorney. I've sent her two specific emails recently where I'm begging her to send my brother to the hospital. I'm begging her, okay? I don't know how low you can get, but I've begged her, okay? And I saw her that day when I sent her the email. She said she was going to respond to my email later that afternoon, that she was in a meeting, and she never responded. And every time we
And I just want to pause. I just wanted to pause real quick here because what we just heard here is the dire need to get help for our loved ones inside. There's a lot of people who've experienced this. Myself personally, just with somebody I've known, and what they put our people in our communities through on the outside. I've spoken with this family over the last week. I got to talk to the mom. You know, a mother's out there just in the unknown, just trying to get her son, their brother, help on what should be a simple case. Now, let's put a timeline to it. Could you tell me a little bit? So You just said when the assaults happened, and then there was a time you state that he came forward and reported it to somebody, right? Because we're dealing with PREA. You know, we have strict PREA guidelines throughout the country. And you know, there's supposed to be posted documents through the jail with contact information. And what I got report of is those posters, you told me that still listed organization called SAVIS. That's Sexual Assault Victims Advocacy Service, and that number rings to a dead number. SAVIS is no longer in existence. It has been taken over by a different agency in that county, and I'm talking a decade old. So to think, if we're just thinking about just our notification process on a poster, an inmate getting to the point of maybe even calling and then finding out that that number for help was broken and that outdated poster. And then we have family on the outside doing all we can to get attention to the matter and just get them some medical help.
So, all right, can I chime in on what you're saying, just because it's also the other part of this story is that when a person goes to report, you know, a sexual assault in this jail particularly, the staff at the jail who actually assaulted Mustafa are the same people that came to do the investigation of the sexual assault. And the colonel of the jail totally was in denial about it and said to him, if you say that, do you know that you can get people federally prosecuted and they'll end up in federal prison? And for the simple fact, like you said, that the PREA number that's listed, it's a non-working number. Number one, that's a separate entity that should be taking care of this when there's something like that happens in the jail. Number two, why are the jail staff, the same people that assaulted him, the ones who are coming to investigate? It makes no sense.
And that is injustice right there, and that's something we see across the board as well. We have self-governing DOC in every state. It's one of the only entities that can self-govern itself, self-spend what they want, where they want. And there's no accountability to their processes except by the very people who create themselves. It's unheard of in any other sector. You know, we can't have that kind of conflict of interest in something as simple as a therapy appointment. But for something like this, where we're housing and supposed to be protecting our people regardless of why they're in there, this is what's going on, and the processes that we're having to go. It sounds like, you know, it's been very emotional for the family outside, and there've been due diligence by emails, calls, you know, litigation attempt, and there was even problem there. So I'll go ahead and keep on either one of you to tell us more.
You know, I just wanted to mention that I have gone to the governor's office. My whole family sat outside of his mansion for almost 2 weeks with my sick mother, who's disabled. She has she's diabetic. She has neuropathy. She's got high blood pressure, cholesterol. She's very sick. And she sat on that sidewalk for 2 weeks in front of the governor's mansion with a poster that says Mustafa needs medical attention. For 2 weeks, someone from his office comes out after 2 weeks and he says, ma'am, we're going to take care of it. Let the process play out. And they tell us to send them all the information. We do that, but nothing happens. I've reached out to Abigail Spanberger's office. I've reached out to Jenkins, who is a delegate, to Guzman, who's a delegate, to other delegates and the Human Rights Commission, who flat out told us that there's nothing we can do for your brother, nothing. And I'm thinking, this is the Human Rights Commission of Prince William County. How are you not going to even take the complaint? You know, and we've gone to 3 jail board meetings. And I want to say that the jail board usually releases a transcript of what was said by the public on their website. And for some odd reason, they did not release the last 2 meetings. And in those meetings, we specifically let every person know on that jail board who happens to be the sheriff, the chief of police, the Manassas Park Police, the Commonwealth Attorney, and other members that are part of the Board of Supervisors in that meeting, and they all act shocked at first. They act like they're all shocked. And then a few minutes later, they're all telling each other to have a nice holiday season. And they never even brought up or mentioned anything about discussing my brother's case, with the exception of one person who later distanced himself from the entire situation. Now, when my brother filed through PREA, he got a visit from a Lieutenant Kepler, who was directly involved in my brother's beating on May 24th. He was involved in the hearing of that situation, and he gets a visit who also accompanied Kepler, is Sergeant Daniels. The same person that puts his boots on my brother's head comes into his cell with a blank sheet of paper, and he's yelling out in front of all the other inmates. He gives him a blank piece of paper and tells him, "Mustafa, tell me how you were sexually assaulted on May 24th in front of everybody in the hallway." Okay?
Oh, wow.
This same person that tore his clothing off and put his boots on his head and told him, "If you say one word, we're going to kill you." That's who's investigating PREA. And then moments later, my brother gets a form signed by Lieutenant Kepler that says your claim of PREA is unfounded. And it's dismissed just like that. My brother tells me about this other number that he found with a poster that is the Savis, which when we call the number, it's disconnected. You know, I've been to that jail, and inside where the visitation is, on the bottom floor where the magistrate's office is, they have posters with that number all throughout the jail. Now, I can only imagine someone getting sexually assaulted inside the jail, and then as they're walking back to their cell, they get a glance of this poster, and they think that this is their only hope for someone outside the jail to look into their sexual assault. And then they call that number when they finally do get the phone, and it goes to a disconnected line. I mean, can you imagine? I wrote a long 7-page letter to that address on that poster when I read about it, and I never got a response. And I always wondered what happened to my letter. You know, I wrote a very detailed letter to that address regarding my brother's sexual assault, and I never got anything back. And
can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it okay if I, first
of
all,
course,
I'm going to say,
thank you. Thank
somebody,
you for joining
somebody
in.
Somebody put
I
up a petition on behalf of your brother, and it's sitting on change.org doing absolutely nothing. I ended up sharing it on Facebook. But somebody started a petition on behalf of your brother, and I don't know why none of you have tried to circulate that thing and make it go viral, number one. Secondly, I believe you already contacted CARE.
Yes,
I
that, is
ahead,
that is correct. My brother sent a letter to CARE, and CARE does not care. My mom called them every day of the week. She called them every day for.
I want to say one thing. First of all, your mom is not going to do anything. You're not going to do anything. We have to do things on a national level. We have to recruit people to sign petitions, to do petitions, to write letters to the governors. Right now, with everything going on in the Middle East, you know what's happening right now in the Gaza Strip. You know this hitting the United States. So, unfortunately, the people in this country are not going to be there for your brother on an individual basis, on a family basis. First of all, I'll tell you, my mother was Arab, okay? So I'm going to tell you right now, one of the things that people have to realize is that when you stop fighting for your loved ones, whether it's a culture, a religion, a race, or whatever, you need to do it on a national – you need to join every single group on Facebook that's related to your situation. If you have to join every Arab group, if you have to join every group that wrongfully convicted group or prisoner advocacy group or prisoner activist group, whatever the case may be, you want to join every one of these groups, and you want to stop posting on every one of these groups. The situation, petitions, let them go to the sites, let them sign it. People are not – this. We have mass incarceration in the United States, 2.3 million people incarcerated, men, women, and youth, right now. And you know why we have mass incarceration? Because we have a government that doesn't know their ass from their head. We have a government that doesn't care. They don't care about their own, never mind people from other countries. So one of the things you want to do, first of all, is join every one of these groups. And then you want to go on the Internet and you want to type in pro bono Muslim lawyers for abused prisoners. You want to type in Muslim activists, Muslim advocates. You want to get everything out there. Because you can be on the show every single day talking about your mother did this, you did this, I did this, she did this, he did this. But unless you do it in groups, in large quantities. And first of all, that petition that's on change.org, you need to get that circulated right away. And then you need to do some writing to governors or whatever. And you need to put it on Facebook, on all these groups that you join, and ask everybody to sign on to those petitions, sign on to those letters that you're sending out.
That's and I just want to tell y'all, that's Leona, and she's been fighting for freedom of our rights for a very long time and has a lot of experience and wisdom that I've come to respect and absolutely value. She knows what you guys are going through, and she knows that dead stalemate. You know, nothing's happening. Your loved one's still suffering. And nothing's still happening, and that's why, you know, uniting is definitely a big thing. There's a lot of topics here that should unite a nation easily. Sexual assault, physical assault, lack of medical care, or true any care, it seems like to me. Again,
Shahid,
it doesn't matter
Omar,
why he's in there. There are human rights, and that's no justified punishment for anything.
Shahid Omar is the founder of all Inmate Lives Matter in Virginia, Shahid Omar. So you want to try to contact him.
And we have I'm sorry, I just wanted to chime in to just so you know, we do have a communication out to him, and we're hoping to hear back, Christine, and I'll cycle you with some more contact information for him.
Okay.
As I was saying, Shahid Omar, I sent him the message of what's going on with your loved one, and he wrote back, somebody needs to be physically touched. If this was my brother and I couldn't find out who sexually abused him, who lied about it, they would be caught in the dark and they'd ask. Their ass would be mishandled before they get to court. Then we would find a civil rights violation in federal court so my brother could be paid. They would think twice about sexually abusing anybody else. These are Muslims. They're abused, and there is no price, and there is a price to pay for that abuse. No turning the other cheek for a second time. So, like I said, do some research. Get in contact with Shahid Omar. And if CARE didn't do anything, then we all need to start writing to them and calling them to find out why they're not doing anything.
Yes.
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 Thank you for saying that. And, you know, I want to mention that I've researched a lot of civil lawyers. I've talked to many, many lawyers, and I've sat for countless hours telling my brother's story for them to come back and say, you know, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. But I found a Middle Eastern lawyer, a civil lawyer, who says he fights for justice. Now, my family doesn't have a lot of money, and I think
this is another thing you want to do. Everything you do, whenever you go on the internet looking for lawyers, whenever you go, always put pro bono before anything you do. And always let these lawyers know when you first talk to them that your brother is indigent.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, this lawyer, he said he wanted $5,000 to go into the jail and visit my brother, and he's going to fight for him for his criminal case. He took the last $5,000 that my family had, and we put it on a credit card, okay? And now he won't even call us. He won't even call us or talk to us or even pick up the phone call. And I'm thinking, what world do we live in? This guy is supposed to be from he's from Egypt. He's been fighting for civil rights and civil injustice. I went to ADC with Abid Ayoub, who has a podcast, who's in charge of the anti-discrimination of Arab Americans in America. And every time I go to his office, He tells me he's outraged, he's this and that. The other day, my mom was assaulted by a lawyer inside the court, the same lawyer that did not show my brother's evidence in court. He took $50,000 from us, and the state bar ordered him to send that money back to us. And since November, he hasn't sent the money back. I saw him in court, and I approached him peacefully, and I said, Mr. Stevens, I would like my money back. Can you mail it to my address? He turns around and strikes my mother. And the Prince William County Sheriff comes up and says, I didn't see it. I have to check the cameras. She checks the cameras and then tells me that he only hit her phone. That's assault. And I was able to get the video, And it shows an assault occurred, and they never charged him. I had to go to the magistrate and submit a citizen's complaint. And now he's telling the state bar that he's not going to get charged. That's what he's telling the state bar, because he knows that he donated to Amy Ashworth, who's the Commonwealth attorney, and she's got his back like that, and that the sheriffs will not do anything to him, even if he breaks the law on camera. Okay, he assaulted a Muslim woman, and this guy got away with it.
And I just want to chime in, too, because I think it's important. One, it's very important that we have full representation from our Muslim community. But I just want to break down that barrier, too, on a community level, where we need that representation in our organizations and people to fight for that. We need to know that, you know, this man is so lucky to have this kind of support system. And it's not just Muslims getting raped in prison. It is every race and every creed of person is suffering assaults just like this, with not as loud of a voice because they don't have support on the outside, or if they do, they're afraid to come forward because of retaliation. These are just reports that are coming in by the droves every day, coast to coast, and we're traumatizing our communities. We are caging our men, and on concrete, they took his mattress. That's another update I'd like to highlight. In this attempt for medical care, this man was punished because he declined nurse care at a check-in, and they decided to say that even though he explained it, I did talk to him, I've heard his voice, and I do, just the powerful message he shared was he didn't care what he was going through, that he would go till his dying breath to bring light to this, because he also, it wasn't just him, he saw somebody else stripped naked on the ground in front of a confinement cell, and now he has no mattress. He didn't want to see the nurse that didn't give him the care for the Priya episode, and he explained that he didn't want to see them because of that, and he was, what could be seen as some type of retaliation, and he's now punished with an additional 15 days of nothing. No visitation, no communication, no commissary, and also because he has submitted, I'm sorry, can you guys tell me again how many he said he's submitted of grievances, which is the paper process for our inmates to get care to their needs. How many has he submitted?
He has submitted over 59 grievances. Over 59.
Over 59 grievances. And he is still so strong, you guys.
I'm
absolutely touched.
Has anyone contacted Muslim advocates?
I contacted a few on Friday and left messages.
No, this is a group. This is an organization, Muslim Advocates.
Let me write that down.
Can one of you give me your message, your Facebook message, and I'm going to send you some links and information to contact?
Yes, sure.
And I can connect you guys too. I'll make sure after the show that you guys are linked on Facebook. You know, Leona has some invaluable resources and ideas that she'd like to share. I think that'd be great.
I mean, talking about a problem, once we know the problem, I like to leave it at that, and I like to start looking at the resources and the availability of providers or someplace where you can get the help, because we can be on this phone for 24 hours talking about the problem that we already know happens in the prisons, but we don't have a lot of time to talk about those things once it's out there. We need to start looking at resolutions. And right now, the resolution is to get these resources and start making calls. Also, I was going to ask if anybody has contacted ACLU.
I have contacted the ACLU from the very start. I've emailed them. I even drove to their office in Richmond, and they flat out told me that they're not even looking at the case.
You know, this is ACLU is, I'm exposing them on the radio show too. And the reason I exposed them on the radio show is because three prisoners died in Pennsylvania back in 2007 and 2008. I went out there. My organization went out there. We were networking with others. I went out to there, and I reached out before each one died and after each one of the first ones died to ACLU. ACLU is just like a lot of these other organizations. On their website, they put all these things down, but they do absolutely nothing. They're getting funding, and the only thing that they're getting involved in now is things that are going to make a lot of money is the immigration issues. Okay? A lot of these lawyers, like you're talking about, $5,000, I got screwed over $16,000 by these lawyers that claim they're going to help. I've learned one thing. Never, never, never pay a lawyer anything. You always look for pro bono lawyers. That way you know if they're going to help, they're going to do it for nothing. Because we have too many scam artists, not only in the prisons, but also in the law, in law enforcement, in the legal, in the government, in all of them. So don't pay another person any money. For what's going on with your son, you should be able to get help. Also, try calling places like Morgan & Morgan. They don't charge unless they win. Sokoloff. A lot of these, you go on the internet, you type in these lawyers, fee, no fee until you win, and tell them the situation. You might get lucky and have them help.
The problem, Leona, is that the lawyers that we're reaching out to, especially in the area of Prince William County, it's like one hand wipes the other down there. So
well, before, that's right. Even in Massachusetts, it's happened. But what I was going to say is don't just focus on Virginia. There are organizations that do national work. So you want to type in National Muslim Advocates, National Muslim Activists, National Muslim Lawyers, whatever the case, and it doesn't even have to just be Muslim. Look at Ben, try contacting Ben Crump's office.
I have contacted Ben Crump's office four times.
And what do they say?
Every time they tell me that unless it's a death, they're not going to take it.
And I just told them that the other day. I spoke to somebody at his office. I said, what if they wait until somebody dies? They won't help them before they die, but they'll wait until somebody dies and then they bring it before the media. And Al Sharpton is another piece of, I'm sorry to say it. He is another piece. I've been trying to get him to use his platform on CNN to talk about the mental health issues in this country. And right now, your brother, I can guarantee, is going through some mental health issues. He was going through it before he even went in. And right now, he's suffering not only what they're doing to him, but he's got PTSD. So what has to happen right now is that you start researching. We'll all start researching for pro bono legal assistance, pro bono legal assistance for abused prisoners. That's what you want to type. You can type it in your state, but also do it nationally. National pro bono lawyers.
Leona, I just want to say, you know, my brother was the only survivor of that crash, and my brother is mentally fit to testify himself in court, and the jail has put him in solitary confinement for 11 months now, and he's supposed to go and stand trial, and they want to mentally deteriorate him. Now, I just want to speak about recently I filed a petition for injunction to have a judge grant an injunction to the jail to have him transferred to a hospital. I was personally threatened with jail time because they're claiming that I'm unlawfully practicing law. But I have every right as a citizen of Virginia, as a citizen of the United States, to bring a civil suit or to file for a petition for injunction. I have every right to do that. And when I went to court, my brother was supposed to be in court as a witness to this hearing. The judge denied my brother the hearing to be present in court, and I asked the judge to recuse himself because he personally said to the opposing counsel what to write in her answers. He was practicing the law from the bench. Now, during that time, my brother was placed in a holding cell, and they did not bring him to court. Now, while he's in the holding cell, that's when they brought the nurse to him, and it was the same nurse that saw him on May 24th, full of blood, naked, on the floor, and did not give him medical attention. That's why he said, I don't want this nurse touching me, because this nurse neglected me on that day. I don't want anybody touching me. So the officers and the nurse left his holding cell without any incident, and then that same day, another officer came into his cell and told him that they're going to take all his privileges away. They're going to take his mattress, his clothing, that they're going to handcuff him and throw him in the shower. And they physically threatened him inside his cell. And what happens that following Tuesday, they went ahead and conducted an internal hearing without his presence, and they sentenced him to 15 days of detention where they take away his mattress. They take away all his rights, all his calls, visitations. I mean, the whole reason why we're in court that day, that Friday, was because we're trying to get medical attention to my brother. And what do? They turn around and they abuse him even more.
And right there, too, that lack of protection by entities created and born to protect, and I won't speak too much to it, but I experienced similar a few years ago in the same county, just trying to get mental health help. It's a crisis out there. Has anybody, so Savas, the people on the poster, I actually trained with them years and years and years ago. They turned into ACTS. Has anybody spoken with ACTS, which is the local organization for the Sexual Assault Victims Advocacy Service? They kind of took over and offer similar services. Has anybody spoken with them?
I have not.
Okay, so I'll at least take that end of it. Sexual abuse is across the board. It's a lot of the reason for our mental health. So many people are suffering. So many people are suffering. Mustafa is suffering. Tell us about your letter, Christine. You said you actually write them. We know that's important, and I encourage that for anybody listening. If you know somebody inside, communicate with them. Let them know that you can be their voice.
I write a letter every single day to him. And I just wanted to chime in on a statement that he made to me, which was, it almost like, it just cracked my heart, you know, to right now, like it just tears me up because he made a statement that, you know, no matter what was going on, no matter what they did to him, that he was going to sit and do, like we talked about, like diaphragm breathing. And then he was going to sit and he was going to close his eyes. And he said, and I'm going to make myself feel like I can fly and I won't even be here. And he said that someone had asked him earlier that day that, where's your home at? And he said, this is my home for right now. You know, he just has such a great attitude. I mean, he's just a wonderful human being. Like, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's an angel. We're not claiming that. But I could tell you that this man is innocent. I read the discovery. There's a million holes for the discovery right in their own report, which they weren't even meant to get. And Muhammad could speak on that after me. The Casey Stevens probably accidentally gave that to them, where the police officer stated right in there that the brakes failed on the vehicle. There was a reconstruction done after the accident. And by the way, they also tampered with the car. But the reconstructionists told the family that Casey Stevens, the corruptest, most corrupt lawyer I've ever seen or heard, told them to not give them, which the family paid $4,100 out of that $50,000 that they took, to not give them a handwritten statement about what they saw with the car, to just give him an audio. So they owe that to this family because they paid for it out of their money, number one. Number two, the reconstructionist stated directly to the family that, or I believe to the family or the lawyer, that the car, they were able to show that the car was brought from 50 miles per hour down to 30 miles per hour. And you could see in the dash cam video that they never mentioned, by the way, at all in public until recently, that you could see that he was trying to stop the car. And they said in that reconstruction piece that he never took his foot off the brake. He continually tried to keep his foot on the brake to stop the car, but there were no brakes.
And just to chime in again, I know the intersection that they speak of. It's known for accidents. There's a lot of need for support in this case. There's a lot of need for support across the board. We've got vile injustices inside our walls. This is only a piece of what this family and advocacy team it has been. When I tell you it takes this and hours and hours and hours out of people's day, just there's so many people that can't even do that. So that speaks to a volume of people that are not even being represented. And we all have got to unite. This is not okay. We cannot have a self-governing unit with this much power. I work with an organization, Virginia Justice Alliance, and we were on a group together where a man was murdered in solitary. So we know that these things happen. There wasn't a lot of light to her case, but it happened. It was just this past fall. It was in the state of Virginia. We've got a man on hunger strike in one of the max prisons in Virginia. We have got atrocity across the board, and we must unite that we cannot continue doing this to our people. We cannot continue doing this to our communities. And then we release these men without mental health care, without support, proper reentry, and we feed a vicious cycle. And we have allowed it for decades and lifetimes. It is breaking our people, and we have got to stand up. We've got to join this. We've got to make calls, email legislators, do whatever, all hands on deck, all hands on deck. If you got a story, we want to hear about it. If you know anything in Prince William County, Virginia, we want to hear about it. Virginia, state of Virginia, the whole country. Whatever you come forward for, we want to talk about it.
Melissa, I'd also like to add one thing. There is a delegate in Prince William County. Her name is Kelly Fowler, who actually made a TikTok about this case, particularly about Mustafa's case. And she stated right in there, you know, like, the charges sound so bad. Yeah, you hear the charges and you think, okay, this is really bad. But then when you go to read on, which she herself stated in the TikTok that she read the discovery, and she said, this isn't a car accident. And then she talked about what was going on, you know. And I myself, since I saw that, I thought, well, I'm going to reach out to every one of these delegates. And I ended up reaching out, and I was referred to Ms. Maldonado, who did correspond with me through email.
And that's the representative directly for Prince William County?
Well, actually, I found out for Prince William County, but she referred me to Ms. Candy Mundon, who is the delegate for where Mustafa lives in Dumfries, near Dumfries. So we're going to reach out to her on Monday, and also they referred us to Mr. McPike. I'm not sure. I think he's a senator, and I plan on reaching out to them on Monday. I don't know what kind of response I'm going to get, but I did get a email back from Ms. Maldonado. Once I said, there, you know, she basically wrote me a second email telling me that there was going to be an investigation. They're diligently working on this. And then in the next email that I got not long after, which I do believe they had to call, she tells me that she spoke with the Commonwealth attorney. This is the same person that's prosecuting Mustafa Al-Jazari, which makes no sense to me. You know, she's obviously going to have a biased opinion. She's prosecuting him. And then in that email, she goes on to tell me that he found out that there were other independent investigations through the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which, by the way, was very non-cooperative with the family. And Muhammad could elaborate more on that if he wants to. But, I wrote back and said to her, You touched on a couple of things, basically, is what I said to her, but you didn't touch on any of the main subjects that I got, you know, that were more important, like his medical care, you know?
Right, exactly. Because, and I just want to chime in, because I don't want to get too into the details of contact just yet, because we can peel this apart, we can follow up on this. I want to make sure we're staying within time frame, too. And make sure we get a couple things covered before we end. But all those emails, I do want to say, you know, we have a lot of positive legislation stuff going on in Virginia, and some big things even across the board in different states. California has ended solitary confinement from what I researched. And if anybody knows any different, you know, chime in. But they've ended it. We are behind times. 1969, we knew that solitary confinement was ill for our psychological health and our physical health, and it was spoke about by a federal judge in New York. And for us to know what we did to our people as far back as then go to mass incarceration, and then on top of that, capitalize it and continue to make money off of these people, charging tax dollars, And we can't even say where they go, because it sure isn't to proper medical care. It sure isn't to due processes. Sure, there's some good out there. Sure, some things happen. We have positive legislation for some stuff, but we need to step faster. And until there can be a proper change in our delegates and as a whole politically, really, we need to join together as a community and support those who have been hurt and traumatized by a system built to protect us. We could speak to any number of different social system injustices, and what we find is we're a community who's suffering. We're all suffering. It doesn't matter your color, your skin. It doesn't matter your gender, who you love, or anything. It doesn't matter how much money you have to fight in your pocket, because it has gotten so rampant, so vile.
Melissa, can I mention something?
Yes, please.
So, you know, initially when we hired Casey Stevens, he was on board, but at some point, it looks like when he found out that we had an audio recording of the officer with Mustafa, where the police report was falsified by Officer Robert Drum, he did not show that evidence when he had it in court. We agreed that he was going to play that recording in court, and he never played it. Okay. So after that incident, Casey Stevens was taken off the case, and we asked him for our money back. But he specifically threatened me that if we talk about the officer falsifying the report, if we talk about the discovery, he said that the government will come after you. He said the police were going to come after you and your family, and he made some threats to us. Now, recently, on February 13th, my brother received threats from inside the jail. I don't know if they were from officers or from inmates, but the officers definitely were present when these threats were made to my mother, to my sisters, that they were going to do some very, very inappropriate things to my family. This was on the
13th. And I heard that out of his own mouth, too. He shared that on our personal call.
Yes, ma'am. And then Friday, my whole family was going to go to court for that petition for injunction that I filed for my brother, and I was threatened with jail time. Now, at the very last minute, there was some change of plans, and I drove a different car than I would normally drive with my whole family. Now, my youngest brother said he was going to come after us to court, and he took that car. When he took that SUV, the SUV caught on fire on his way to court, and a tow truck driver who used to be a firefighter told us that the only way a fire like that could happen is if something happened to the fuel line. Now, my youngest brother said he was at the gas station. He went inside. When he came out, there was Prince William County police circling that area and circling his car, and they were just sitting there in the parking lot. Now, moments after he got in the car and drove it, the car caught on fire. He didn't even know. Someone drove up next to him and told him, hey, your car's on fire. And he was barely able to get out of the car before the whole thing just was engulfed in flames. Now, that car, we were supposed to take that car to court. I have a little girl that's 3 years old who sits in a booster seat. I have both my parents, my sisters, my wife. We were all supposed to be riding that car. And we got death threats from the jail about going to court, about Mustafa's family. And next you know, our car catches on fire. Now, a few days later, my other car had an incident where something just happened to it, and it lost steering, complete steering, no steering on it. Now, I don't know who these people think they are or who they think they're intimidating, but we're going to talk about my brother's case. Whether they threaten us or not, we're going to expose these tyrants for what they are. And every person that we've contacted that is not saying anything about it, they're complicit. They're part of the problem.
They do say that.
And can I just say one thing to add to that?
You're not. Say it again.
That Muhammad, I wanted to add to that, that this family, I want to make it very clear, they came to this country with the hope and ideology that they would be able to live free, happy, and joyous. And their mother and their father are, you know, they're getting up in years. They deserve to live the rest of their life out with peace and joy, but that's not what's happening. You know, these people ran away from Saddam Hussein for the same type of atrocity, and they're facing that in this country that was supposed to give them freedom.
And And what picture are we selling that even let them know at that point in time that it was a good place to come, because we're supposed to be the land of the free, and we paint
right.
a pretty picture. What's going on behind the scenes and has gone on behind the scenes has led to the demise of a nation. We are suffering, and we need to continue to help one another, whoever it is. This family specifically, we got taxpayers, who thought that the government had this system proper. That's what a lot of our taxpayers think. They think that, they pay the money, and then we go to labels, and people see that it's the incarcerated, and they just assume that either it's being done or it's not. Hold on one second. I just want to speak to when somebody hears inmate, they shut down, and that we've had enough of that. Because these are human beings, they are due proper care regardless of anything legally. Their human rights don't end the time that they end up in ADC or transferred to prison. They have rights because they are human beings, and they are our brothers, our sisters, they are our neighbors, yeah. and our children. Our children matter, and what are we leaving for them? What are we leaving for them to fight for? We can't do this anymore. We've got to start wrapping up in just a few minutes. Has any contacts, I urge you to get them to us. A Warrior Within Us Project, Shedding Light. We can funnel any contacts. Christine and Mo, if there is a certain method of contact for you guys, I'd like for you to mention that if there's anybody that wants to reach out to you directly with any stories or support in any way, we encourage that. We have got to help each other. We're in some dark times, but we can make moves. We can.
Melissa, I just wanted to mention one quick thing. My dad served in the Army here. My brother served this country, but my dad's work overseas has saved thousands of U.S. troops' lives. When he was in Iraq. And by the generals in Iraq, he was awarded a VIP status for the work that he has done in Iraq for his country. And for them to treat us like this, it's just unfair. It's completely unfair. My dad put his life on the line for this country. And for Amy Ashworth or whoever is behind all this, I just want to say that they're doing a disservice to this country when they do that to my family.
Agreed.
Thank you for that. And thank you for transparency in what you guys are going through. I hope that we can shed the light that you guys need to move this forward, continue to bring light to the different things that are affecting all of us coast to coast. I want to thank you guys for being on. Is there any other important piece before we close out tonight? Any way you want to contact?
Yeah, I would like to say that it's okay. I have this is like my work phone, so anybody can text my number. Is it okay to give that out now?
Yeah, if you're comfortable with that, yes.
Yeah, it's a work phone. So I can be reached, text at area code 412-815-9179. You can call, you can text. If there's anything that you can do to help with this family, in this case, please feel free to contact me at any time. I'm open to listening, and I'm opening myself up to any kind of help that we can get this family.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Christina, for voicing my brother's voice from inside the jail. We appreciate your stance on this. And I also want to give out my information. My name is Mohammed Al-Jazari. I'm Mustafa's older brother, and my phone number is 571-999-5104, and I'm open to receiving any information or anything that would help with my brother's cause. Our TikTok for Mustafa is at Protect Inmate Project. That's the main TikTok that we use for Mustafa or anyone that is abused in that jail. So thank you for having us, and we appreciate your time.
Absolutely, and we'll keep in touch with you guys and follow this. We cannot wait to hear from Mustafa as soon as he is removed from this. I guess he's got about another week in this this extra detention that he's going through. And I don't even mean to myself away here. I just, it's a moving case, as is every single one. So no matter how you can join in and take a stand to the injustices around you, find what it is that moves you, find what it is that you may have been affected for or from, and help us do something. Help us turn the TV off and fight for what's right and the proper care of our people so we can stop being re-traumatized, begging for people to pay attention to what's going on and how much change we need. We've got to act now, y'all. There is multiple organizations. Again, I just want to, you know, Shedding Light, they've got all kinds of topics coming up that I encourage anybody to, you know, call in or listen and share whatever you can, resources, information, stories, all of it. Virginia Justice Alliance is a great organization for Virginia. 40 Strong is another one in prison reform and support services. There's ways to help. Sometimes it could just be an email that takes you a moment. They're pre-populated in some places. We can find a way for you to help. A Warrior Within Us project. We want everybody to unite and drop labels. End incarceracism. It doesn't matter that these people are inmates. They are human beings. End incarceracism. We have to. It was needed long ago. So you guys will follow up. We'll probably bring you back on, and we'll stay in touch and try to get movement, and help for your brother. Okay, we're with you guys. And go ahead.
I said we thank you and Leona for having us on the show. And letting us, you know, talk about our story. We really appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you, Absolutely. Melissa. We appreciate you and Leona's work. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from anybody who can chime in. All right, everybody, have a good night.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks.